you know, we've made decisions to do the teach outs of the programs, and as many of you know, this school has been declining enrollment for 5-6 years. It's just nonstop. And so I will tell you that I will answer any question that you have of me. I will answer it directly. I can't make certifications on behalf of HLC, and that's something that the students didn't quite understand, but I can tell you where we stand on it and what we're trying for and what we think is going to happen. We have met with the DOE. The DOE has approved the plans. The DOE is going to assist us with the teach outs. The DOE is working with HLC to get this accreditation issue gone. They went so far as to change a regulation at DOE to make it easy for HLC to help us. So that's why I'm saying I think that's a really good shot that this is going to, you have a call pass. There's a real good shot that everything's going to be fine. I can tell you this, we would not have done the transaction had we known that HLC wasn't going to give us accreditation. We would not have done the transaction if we had known some of the issues. But here we are, and we're trying to make the best of them. So that's not good news for you guys. But, you know, we have a huge emphasis moving to, for culinary it's a little tough, but for online, we want you to work with us. So I will answer any question that you have. Let's do that. Yes, ma'am.
I had all of my students drop my noon class. Does that then mean that we are going to cancel classes? And what does that mean for full-time faculty?
Okay, so they dropped all your classes. I don't know an individual situation like that.
No, they dropped one class.
They dropped one class?
I teach four, so they dropped one.
Yeah. You know, I don't know the individual answer on that. I think we're taking a look at everything. I would assume that if you have other classes, you just keep teaching them.
Okay.
Yeah. But you know, I don't know.
There's a difference between a teach out, as I understand it, and closing at the end of the year. Which is it?
Right now, it's a teach out. But I think you can read through that.
Well, a teach out, from what I understand, is that if students want to stay until they graduate, they can do that. Now, there's students that still have 2 years.
The way that works is you have to submit a plan to the DOE, and they approve it. And if they approve your plan, then that's how long your teach out can go. We have committed through December 31st.
I see.
Now, in the past, EDMC would teach it for 2 years.
Yeah.
Right? We can't do that. So you're correct, but
okay,
you're,
so it's not
you're
a
also
teach
incorrect.
Out. So it's not a teach out. In other words, this school
yeah.
will end.
Yeah. So,
if not before.
So, listen, these things, we went to the DOE and said, listen, here's where we're at. Here's what we have to do. You know, we have 30 campuses that represent 25%. It's only 25% of our total student body. And we said, we need some help doing this. Because otherwise, you know, the whole thing, we lose the whole thing. And so we worked with the DOE. They have been working with us really well. I mean, they have been unbelievably cooperative. A woman named Diane Jones, who is literally Undersecretary of Education, called all the accrediting bodies together and said, listen, you guys have to work with DCEH to accommodate these students, because everybody thinks this is a business deal. This is about this, you know, getting the students accommodated. Unfortunately, the business rolls into it because you can't continue to lose money, and even if you're a nonprofit, where's the money come from? And there's no way to raise money as a nonprofit other than donations. Well, you know, we haven't been around that long, so how are we going to get donated? You know, so we're in a bit of a quagmire. Yes, ma'am.
So some of us receive those letters, and
you received a letter, it was a warn letter, right? Mm-hmm. Right. Then you're probably getting laid off. If you didn't get a letter, then you probably have a little longer.
Okay. That's a big problem.
Question to follow up with that. We received an email also saying that those were sent out in error.
Right.
So what are we supposed to believe? We're getting laid off, or that they sent out a massive amount of letters without checking it to realize they were wrong and they had to recall?
Okay. So I'm in a little bit of a thin ice here, but I'm going to tell you. We sent all those letters out to be hit on the 29th of June, and the DOE asked us to recall them. So that's why there's a difference.
Why?
Because they hadn't completed their, so they want to work with us, and it's unprecedented the way they're going to work with us. And so they have to get all of their ducks in a row. And so they didn't want us saying we're closing campuses, we're teaching out programs.
So that's the difference. Because of the wording?
Believe me, yeah.
So do we disregard the letter, or do, like?
Yeah, there's gonna be more guidance coming.
The communication stated that to disregard it, and we will hear from them soon.
Okay.
So currently the letters that you did receive, the
communication. You're HR, right?
Yes.
Yeah, good answer.
So.
Yeah,
so,
what does it mean if you didn't receive them? Like, I'm so.
Well, if you didn't receive one, there's a good chance you're going to get one in the future.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
So, it's just a matter of timing, right? We'd like to stay along as long as possible. Obviously, you have to take care of yourself and your family. So, but know that this action has happened.
Okay. So, but the student population is dwindling as we speak.
Yeah.
So when are layoffs
going to
start?
Well, because it's such a big situation, you have the 60-day notice with a warn, mm-hmm. because you're in a warn state.
Yeah.
So you'll have 60 days. So when you get the letter, then the clock will be ticking for 60 days. That's my understanding of the warn letter, right?
So we'll get another warn letter?
Yeah.
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 You're
good.
Which means
that's our severance.
Yeah.
So we'll be paid for 60 days after the first.
That's my understanding of it, yep.
And then are we fired the day we get the warn letter?
Wait, I missed that.
Is
the warn letter the same as
the
letter of termination?
The warn letter says you're going to be terminated on day 6.
On August 28th.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
But they'll ignore that.
They ignore it, so there'll be a new clock ticking.
Because all my other paperwork, my letter didn't have a date on it. It said your position has been terminated. I'm an adjunct faculty. So what does that mean? Like, if all of a sudden I'm not teaching, am I going to be teaching until the end of this quarter? Is it mid-quarter all of a sudden I'm going to be without a job? Do I have any? Because I think it's different for everybody else. Like,
right. It's different for full-time versus that.
Right.
Yeah, that's right. Maybe they
Well, it's, well, we don't have any future dates for right now, so you need to ignore those letters, right. Even though you have a specific one. Some did receive where they did not have a specific date until further notice, until we evaluate everything. So currently, as far as having specifics and anything like that, we don't have.
It should have been 60 days from.
But that's like the minimum forecast for 6 week of class.
Okay. I think we need to go back on what you said. We really have to disregard what is out there right now and wait for further information that none of us has.
Yeah, we're waiting for permission from the DOE.
Right.
Right. So it's weird when you get the DOE involved in these things. Normally, when like Corinthian and ITT and those guys. And even EDMC with Brown Mackey, and they just notified them and did what they were going to do. We are working with the DOE to make this as easy as possible. And the good news is the DOE is working with us and helping us with things like HLC. The bad news is they move like a glacier.
Right. Will there be severance packages?
The 60 days is the package.
So, for example, if August 28th is your date, then just know you're getting paid until
through
that
the
day.
28th.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
And nothing beyond that.
No.
After 20 years of service, that would mean you get 60 days.
Correct.
And we're working during.
Any time.
And we're working during that time?
Yes.
You're working during the 60 days and that's your severance?
No.
HR, it's a legal thing. The WARN Act is that you're supposed to be able to have people work for that 60 days. I don't think we're gonna hold people to that, but, you know, I mean, we're trying to do the right thing.
How would that be considered severance? It could make us work. How's that really considered severance?
It's just that you're in a WARN state.
Oh, okay.
In the states where you're not in a, okay, let's take a state that's not a WARN state, then you get 1 week for every year.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, EDMC used to do a great job of letting people go.
It's not.
Maximum is, I think, 12 weeks or 8 weeks.
It's the same, 60 day WARN or 8 weeks.
If you're working till the end of August.
You're working through your notice. There won't be severance.
So there's no severance whatsoever?
Right.
No severance.
Yeah.
You're working through your notice.
Listen.
You're working through the 60 days?
No severance whatsoever.
And you're working through those 60 days?
The 60 days.
You're working through the 60 days.
Yes.
Unless, you know, it's we're trying to, you know, the answer is yes, but.
So if you. I'm sorry. If you're adjunct and your classes, all students drop out of those classes and you don't have any students, how does that work with your 6 day WARN?
If you don't have any students?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if they drop out before the 2 weeks.
Well, you still have to get paid for 60 days. Okay. So, you know, you're locked out.
Okay.
Unless you're, you know, part time or something. But
well, adjunct pays us part time.
Yeah.
I think the question is for the adjuncts because they would be, they're in a different status. So I think the question is being asked by the adjuncts is if they show up to class next week and there's no students enrolled, what does that mean for them? Are they still impacted by the WARN? I think that's the question.
Yes.
Right?
Yep. Thank you.
I'm looking at the HR person right now because.
Well, we have to determine that after.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll
let me get back on that one.
Question. I know you can't, maybe you can or you can't speak to accreditation because that's the thing that's hit the students like a ton of bricks because nobody knew about it. Apparently this happened at the end of January. So two-part question. Why weren't the students informed back in January? Part two, if we are able to get accreditation back, is it retroactive for the students that just graduated in June? As well as finishing up in March?
The answer to question two is yes. It would be retroactive. Yeah. The answer to question one is we acquired 56 campuses in October. The four HLC campuses, because we needed the assurances that we were going to have accreditation in January. We held off closing on the four campuses in terms of a deal close. Until January. We were blindsided with the conditional situation, candidacy. We didn't think that was gonna happen, and we've been arguing with them since then. Now, their response was there was a regulation from DOE that said they had to do it this way and run their process, right? The DOE asked them to change their regulation over here. So it opens the door now to letting it happen. So it's.
Well, that's an explanation, but that doesn't answer why we didn't send the email out. I mean, even if you sent it out in March after that quarter was done, that at least would have given some students a head up. They've been blindsided, and now a lot of them are freaking out because they don't know what to do.
Believe me, I just spent 3 hours with them. I know. So it's a question of judgment. We didn't think it was a problem at the time, and we've been operating under the assumption that we were going to be accredited or we wouldn't have done this deal, and you would have been closed in January. No, you would have been. Let me tell you, I know that last year everybody, EDMC was going to close you, they were going to close you, and it would have been lock the door, no teach out. So I'm not trying to be dramatic here. That's a fact. You know, I'm not doing the best we can to fix everything.
Let me see if I get this straight. You're part of the due diligence team, is that right?
Yep.
You just said it, right? Okay. I've owned a couple of businesses. I know what due diligence is. So from the time that you were negotiating a price and all that kind of stuff, my first question is, did you want the AI schools as part of the package?
Yes.
Number two, you knew attendance was going down for a number of years. Since you've taken over ownership, what have you done to try to raise the population of our schools?
Okay, so population for schools is a tricky thing.
I understand. What have you been doing to increase our enrollment?
Okay. We've changed the way we market. We're adding new classes. We've changed the way we do a reporting structure. We've done quite a bit. It hasn't worked, and we ran out of time. And the due diligence, if you want to know the absolute fact, we're off by $70 million on what we thought we were getting. $70
million. That's your fault, not our fault, right?
Why is it my fault?
Because you're the one that did due diligence.
Okay.
I negotiated with a Japanese company in Motorola, and they didn't do their due diligence right.
Okay.
And after the deal closed, they came back to us at Motorola and said, hey, we've overpaid for this thing. We want to reopen. And we said, sorry, the deal's the deal. So, again.
Okay.
If you overpaid for $70 million.
No. The cash flow is $70 million.
Okay.
So I can get into the technical stuff of this, and
no, I don't
we
need
go all the way down
to
the math.
That,
it doesn't matter.
What's your intention?
What matters is that there's going to be litigation. There's going to be charges, and
good.
Listen, we feel like we didn't get a square deal, so it takes time to go through that when it's this big. So, you know, you can be critical, that's fine. We screwed up.
You know what, he's not being critical. The president of ASID called me and said, I don't understand why this not-for-profit bought you and now they're closing.
So
here's the president of the State of Illinois organization that is trying to understand what's going on because it affects our community. So I need answers too.
I'll give them to you. We can't raise money as a nonprofit.
Okay.
Right? So we have 30 campuses that are losing money, and that dollar amount is close to $70 million. Forget the cash issue.
Right.
We were told that it was going to be this. We did the diligence on that. We have a certified accountant. Based on that, we walked away from this deal in September and said we didn't want to do it. They brought us back and certified these documents. Okay?
Okay.
So now there's $70 million in cash flow over here. We have been trying to reconcile that, and our plan was to add new programs, increase spend on marketing, make more things efficient, split the online, one student, right? Move things together so it wasn't just an online experience. We started getting some margin off of online. And again, it's like Joe Montana said, I never lost a game, I ran out of time. We think our plan's working, and it is working in some places. But this campus is gonna lose $5 million this year. And it lost $4 million last year, and it lost $3 million the year before.
Oh, I know.
So, I mean, I get it. Why did we do it? Yeah. We shouldn't. We could have closed in October and all been gone, you know.
So with those losses, is there any filings of bankruptcy, Chapter 7 or 12?
So EDMC filed bankruptcy last Friday.
Okay.
And that makes our litigation very difficult. But we are getting in line on that.
All right.
I can tell you there was a Wall Street Journal article about the former executives leaving with some cash.
Yep.
You guys can look it up. I don't have to tell you. Wall Street Journal.
I've seen that, yeah.
You saw it?
Yeah.
Okay. So things like that just have made it very difficult.
Right. Also, is Dream Center withholding their non-for-profit? I heard that there was an issue with that, and it's going that they lost their certification to hold on to that non-for-profit at the Washington level with DeVoe and her higher-ups.
No. It's a process. We have permission to be operating as a non-for-profit.
Okay.
Now, there may be another action that happens not at the school level but at the DCEH level, but it's a real technical legal thing, and we just started exploring it.
Okay.
So I can't not say something that isn't true, but we're looking at everything, man.
Okay.
There's a lot of technical stuff here. This is huge, and there's so many moving parts.
I have a future question, which I know it's not even probably on your radar, but Chicago is an amazing city, and to lose this campus, even though it's not making money and blah, 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 I mean, clearly there's too much real estate, clearly we could have taken Schaumburg, closed that, brought this down, got rid of half the real estate here, and probably made a go of it, because I own two businesses too, and I know things take time. My question is, are you guys ever going to relook at Chicago? Because there's just so much opportunity here.
Let me just say yes.
Yeah, good.
It's I lived here for 6 years.
Okay.
I love Chicago. I have friends in the public schools here. I have friends out in Elgin. I ran a company out in Elgin. This is an unbelievable opportunity. There's a population here that needs to be served.
Right.
And it's where we are. Do we want to come back and leave some of these troubles behind? Yeah. There wasn't really an opportunity to move Schaumburg in here. It was too tricky from a mileage point of view.
Okay.
With accrediting bodies. I mean, you kind of handcuffed. I mean, you got DOE. Listen, when we took over this company, I've rattled this off 100 times. There was 16 board of directors. There was 5 accrediting bodies. I mean, there's a banker right now that wants to foreclose on us. I mean, this has not been really fun.
Yeah,
right. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so for the students that are staying for this quarter, next quarter, and people are like dropping like flies, is there a guarantee that it will even go until December? Like, we're telling students that they are able to finish their
Yeah, so program. We have had to tell the DOE we would be here till December.
Even with one student in the classroom?
Yeah. I mean, I'm saying yes right now because I believe that to be true. I mean, if there's one student and there's another way to teach them, I don't know. But listen, there's so many moving parts on this thing. It's not even fun. You know, we have when we took over, left 42,000 students and 11,000 employees.
And with regards to the transferring to another school, you get $5,000. I had a lot of students ask me, how do we actually get the $5,000?
So they have to work with their advisor and then be enrolled in another university, and then they'll come to check. You know, listen, one of the things that we are fixing is tuition, right? It costs $80,000 to go here, $90,000, right? We're bringing it down to 60 at the rest of the remaining schools, because $80,000 is ridiculous. Yeah. It's not, it's a ridiculous number, and it's going to be the cost the same to go on ground than it is online. All of your competitors, everybody that's online has the same rates, with some programming, fees or whatever. But to charge $83,000 for a bachelor's degree, and I can run down and get gen ed credits for $100. Why, I wonder why our population has been declining.
Good question. You said moving forward, you want us to work with you with online. So my question is this: if you're saying that online and on ground is the same price, is your intention moving forward to change the online duration to 11 weeks for an online class as opposed to the 5 or 5.5 weeks? Because I would imagine that most instructors here probably feel the same, in that we're already rushed to do something in 11 weeks and then try to get the same amount of education in 5 weeks online without a human body to physically interact with seems to be a pretty impossible task.
Yeah. So what we're trying to do is mimic some of our competitors, and they're in 8-week blocks, which is half of a 16-week block. Most of us took traditional 16-week blocks. So, but if you're only taking, you know, 3 credits or 4 credits in an 8-week block, our goal is to take that across all 3 schools so that Argosy South and Art Institutes Online all have the same start dates. We have, when we got here, we had 37 start dates a year. And that puts an unbelievable burden. You wonder why your student services are in trouble and financial aid doesn't get back to people and so on. I mean, there are, for you guys that own businesses, there's efficiencies here that they haven't been taking advantage of, right? There's Gen Ed. Why do we have Gen Ed at South, Argosy, and Art Institute? You know, can't we figure out a way to make, I mean, there's not that much difference in English 101, right? So we're trying to smooth some of that stuff out.
If you're going to make your online program more robust, is it still on probation as the?
It is on probation on middle states, right? And it has, it's on probation in middle states, but we, you know, think that they extended the probation based on the closures or the teach outs.
They haven't given you a definitive answer as to why the probation has been extended. That seems a little negligent on somebody's part, or
what it is it is, you know, they can do it for any, you know, for those of you who worked with regulators or creditors, they can pretty much do whatever they want. They can send a letter, make you post something, do whatever. And, there's no logic to it.
It's like, because it's like our status here. The status that we're in is not a normal, recognized status that HLC or an accreditor would put a campus in. If you approve a change of ownership, you've approved it.
Yep.
You don't, in essence, approve it, but then say we're putting you back in candidacy status. That's
never happened.
That's the definition of absurd. There was nothing, nothing has to do with academic quality and the good work that you do in the team here.
Nothing.
Was it political? I don't know. I really don't know.
So there was, my answer is yes. Well, so here's the thing. We're still trying to shake off the not the for profit, right? There were 22 senators who said that this deal shouldn't happen. There are 48 AGs that make us say things on the phone right now that are ridiculous. There were 2,500 calling rules, so we couldn't call students after 3 o'clock. It's gone from, and then EDMC was trying to get rid of the company, so they didn't fix anything. They just kept building on crap. Like, it's like monkey bread. You know what monkey bread is?
Yeah.
You guys, yeah. Right? You pull up, yeah. It's monkey bread. They bought the school, and then it was accredited by Sachs, okay, then this school was accredited by HLC, and then this school was accredited by Middle States, and then NEAC, you know, it's all unraveling. We just have to take it apart, and it just takes so much time because everybody's so used to doing things one way that to change it is like, you know, huge.
So if online is in probation with Middle States,
we have talked to Diane Jones, who's the Undersecretary of Education, who pulled them all together, all the accrediting bodies, all six, there's six in the country, and said, work with these guys. We had a conversation with her on Thursday last week that said everybody was gonna be accommodated. So today we're on probation status, it could end tomorrow. Or they could leave us on there because they think that Trump's gonna lose and, you know, whatever. Those are worst case scenarios. Okay. And I think they could say, okay, we're ripping your accreditation up. They don't have grounds. Listen, all of these things are litigious, and we have been avoiding that because to sue HLC kind of creates another problem versus another problem versus another problem. But there are schools out there that don't even ask permission, they just start suing. We don't want to be those people. We want to work with them and kind of make this thing, you know, friendly. And the administration, the DOE administration, has said we don't want to be those people that put off. I mean, there are for-profit schools in this country that are great. They get people jobs, they get people to work, right? But we have this stigma about them. If anybody ever looked at state colleges and how they spend money and fly around on private jets, right?
Yeah, right.
We don't do that. We try to run it as efficiently as possible. I mean, Arizona's like a poster child for it. So, that's just my personal opinion. Yes, sir.
Unrelated to anything I may have missed prior to this, I'm Michael Wright, I teach the cinematography here. One of the things that has always plagued the program from the standpoint, my perspective, is that we've never made the investment in infrastructure to be competitive with Columbia, competitive with DePaul, competitive with the University of Chicago. And we just have to accept that there are other people that do what we do, and we have to do it as good or better. With investment, a real soundstage, professional cameras, real electrical distribution. I mean, there's only so much you can do with software. You can't make movies with software. You can't. You got to make it with steel and copper.
Big cameras, big lights. The total investment across all 60 campuses last year for capital expense was less than $15 million. That's on a company that was doing over $1 billion. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's one stage.
No. I'm talking about, what you're talking about is something in the business world we call CapEx, mm-hmm. right? To keep things current.
Yeah.
Giving you guys the most current sounding boards and the most current cameras and all of that stuff. Yeah. That requires an investment every year.
Yeah.
They didn't. EDMC did not put that money out there.
And that's what I'm saying. That would have been one stage, that $15 million. You know what I mean?
Well, that was across 60 campuses.
Yeah, see, that's
ridiculous.
And that's hurt. It's hurtful because the majority of what we're doing is like, if this existed, you'd do it like that.
We're getting, competitively, AI is getting crushed in San Francisco, in Georgia. SCAD, you guys know SCAD, right? They're doing a great job. We need 2 years to catch up, right? What we're doing is, one of the things, somebody asked, what are you doing to improve sales, right? One of the things that we're putting in is a CRM for students, right? So that we know from the time that they apply or they inquire, we track them all the way through graduation and into job. They didn't have anything like that. They've been doing it with spreadsheets. There was 5 different phone systems in this company, 5. You can't transfer between, you know, you gotta say, okay, well, I'll get back. You know what happens? They don't call. It's a turnaround situation, and we're doing everything we can to save as much as we can.
I have a question.
Yes.
And I'm sorry if I missed this, because I came in late. Were the graduates from spring?
I believe a letter went out to the graduates. I believe so. I'll check.
So there's some issues with the Board of Education in Springfield and Durban, and an investigation that's being launched because of, since that we're not informed of the accreditation. What's happening with that investigation right now?
The only thing we've gotten from Durbin is a letter,
mm-hmm.
and you know, it's a he shit, she shit. They said we were doing it. We said we argued.
Okay. Because my only fear is that is going to.
I think this is my opinion. Okay. There's a little showboating going on with politicians.
Okay.
Because if you dig under the covers and look at the facts, we are right there.
Okay. only concern is like that is going to make it a lot more difficult to get the accreditation from the HLC with
you're
that impending investigation. Yeah. So.
And he's been after the late maturity.
Yeah.
Senator Durbin.
Yeah. Senator Durbin hates for-profit education, just hates it. And the fact that we had all of these AG notices and, you know, we still are, every single phone calls, we have to pay a guy $1 million a year because he reports to the AG. We have to spend $700,000 on software that could be going for studios, on compliance software, so that he can call up any call that he wants to. We have to, we have probably 10 extra trainers. I mean, this whole compliance thing is just out of hand.
Did you guys know this before you purchased the school?
We did, but the AG stuff is supposed to come off in November, which is only 4 more months. So things change a little bit in November. And we've been going through every single policy, every single piece of software, every single thing that's happening and saying, this is a rule that they did to be overly cautious, and this is a rule that we actually have to live with, right? We call them red rules and blue rules, right? The red rules are rules that the AG wants us and says you have to do. There's probably 50 of them. We had 2,500, which means they kind of built on themselves.
So you said that the HLC moves like glaciers, right? I believe that's what you said earlier. So we're going to be done here for sure by December. What if they are moving so slowly? If we are closed, what is going, like, why would we be accredited after we're closed? Like, I'm trying to figure out, like, my students who right now they're wondering if they're going to get their actual BFAs that they, you know, they're supposed to be graduating
yes.
in the next quarter or two. But how will that work? Like, are you guys going to still work to have their degrees accredited even after you close the schools?
Yes. So there's two parts to that program, right? For those kids that are just starting on their program and we move to another institution.
That, the students who are graduating this quarter and next quarter.
Okay, those are the ones that are in, that HLC has to come back and say, okay, you were accredited from January 20th. What, on what planet is it okay to say you're accredited on January 18th? Same faculty, same curriculum, same everything, and on January 19th you're no longer accredited. That's not even, who does that?
But I understand that. I'm just wondering, you know, like after you closed all of this, so this is, you know, a done deal, like you guys will still be pushing them to help those students retroactively.
Yeah, no, hopefully it resolves itself in the next couple weeks.
Okay.
And then once that they say yes, our institute students that were here get to have their accreditation. It's
so can I, if I may,
go ahead.
We just found out late yesterday that HLC is going to be visiting us next Monday, so on Monday, you can visit. So there will be a time that I'll be sending out an email. There's open time for people to speak with them. You know, from my standpoint, this is our opportunity to hopefully, you know, attempt to move this in the right direction for our students and how we approach it. There's two visiting team members who are coming. I don't have the agenda yet. It's that current of information. But once I get the time, you know, I'll let everybody know.
Yeah.
It's a drop-in. You know, that's how they like to have a drop-in and talk with them. So, you know, if there's any way that you're comfortable with expressing, you know, you're in an appropriate way that we think would be a good way to express that to HLC, right? They could help our students. You know, I understand it's a difficult situation for everybody in here. I know this. And it's a difficult situation for our students. And I think what Mr. Crowley is telling us is that they're working on it. You know, they're working with HLC, and that you know, they are coming next week. So this is our chance to attempt to speak with them as well. They will want to meet with students, you know, so and that's another piece there as well. But you know, we don't have the crystal ball of anything, but you know, I think in goodness, he's telling us what is known. I'm telling you what I know as of last night that they're coming. And you know, I think it's our chance to move this team here and express all the good things that we know we've done all along, all the good that we, the beautiful work that we do with our students, the excellent education that they get, you know, and that we're gonna do this as best as we can for our students the right way. And the best thing that I can think of the right way is if they could retroactively work with us and these students at this point, because we can't change the closure piece. You know, that's a piece we can't change, as much as we all want to, and believe me, I understand that. But what I'm hoping we can impact is the piece of how this ends for our students. And I know this is tough, but I wanted to let you know as that's kind of really recent information, that's what's happening, and so just that piece.
Yeah, that's a good point. They're doing site visits in Colorado and here. And,
Same day.
We didn't think they were going to do any more site visits, but here they are, so.
Is it, we did not.
And this site visit, is it the kind of site visit that they do when they're still deciding on accreditation?
That is such a great question. So,
that is a good question.
That is a wonderful question. If anyone knows HLC, they're not really clear about that. So I'm awaiting the agenda that they're going to be sending. My understanding of it at this point is it's part of the items that were from the change of ownership piece of it, and the majority of the part is now the closure due to the situation that we're in. The interesting part is the visit that they were going to have with us anyway, the visit that we were assuming we would have before we knew the closure, before we knew anything, really was a piece of a 6-month change of ownership visit. So it really, the team when they were coming wasn't even really going to be evaluating where we were as it relates to our accreditation status. They were to be simply looking at, since change of ownership, what's changed? You know, what's changed? The quality of academics, the quality of student services, what's changed? Now, because of the situation that we're in, you know, that meeting, that visit has changed and what they're looking for. So I'm awaiting more information from them to know. The piece that, really the only piece that I do know that will be asked of anybody here is if you have comfort level with that, and if you, you know, feel comfortable stopping by and speaking with them, you know, on their behalf, that's a piece I need to know. The rest of it, we're still waiting on the agenda from the chair of justice.
Are they coming to the classrooms?
No, they don't typically, in this type of visit, and in the previous visit, when we did kind of know what they were going to be covering, there were never classroom visits at that point because it was a change of ownership visit, and more around the pieces of that puzzle about it. There's, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, so many different pieces of it. So the piece of meeting with students will be the opening session for students and then that. And again, we can't control their agenda. So whatever they tell us that they want to do when they're here, it's not like we can say, sorry, no, we want you to do this or you need to do that. They tell us basically what we're going to do when they come. So.
Good question. If students are transferring and they transfer now, and HLC accreditation comes through, are there courses that they, because they're no longer students here, will their courses that they took in the winter and the spring still be accredited then?
If HLC comes through, yes.
Okay, so even if they're not a student here any longer, they've filled out their paperwork.
Yeah, that's our hope, is that, you know, from January 20th or 19th or whatever that date is, that everything, they take care of the students. I mean, you guys didn't change. The curriculum didn't change. Nothing changed except, you know, us. And so why would they not give them credit for that? That's a logical statement.
Well,
right.
Can we tell our students that about the HLC and how things didn't change?
We told them.
Because I think I really believe they think that we lost our accreditation because of lack of services.
No.
And I think that's the misunderstanding.
That's absolutely false. We did not.
I think the concern is that ad drop is Monday, and they're concerned that if they don't hurry up and run and drop today, that even if accreditation comes through, they're still going to be charged for this quarter and only attend class for a week. And I think
that's a really good point.
The panic in them is, I don't want to have to pay for classes that don't count now. Mm-hmm. And they feel like, hey, we have 7 days to make a decision. No one wants to make a life-changing decision in 7 days.
No,
it does. No, and that's something actually, to your point, that has come up, and I know that John's looking for that course, and so we should have an answer to that soon.
Okay, and that'll be, if we get an answer to that, is that something that will be pushed out to students?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
And you gotta hurry.
Yeah, because
the interior design is dropping by the mat.
All of the departments are.
Okay, I know.
I want to revisit what we one of the topics we discussed early on, and that was this letter that went out. And I just want to be clear because it doesn't, I'm not clear. I don't know if everyone else is. The letter was sent out. It had erroneous information on it, disregard. It's giving you 60 days, and I'm sure those, you probably need to chime in.
Okay.
But ignore that letter. There will be new letters coming out.
Correct.
When the new letters come out, are they going to continue from, say, July 31st, you have 60 days to work and get paid unless your class is deplete, there are no students, and then you get what is considered somewhat of a severance? Is that going to change? Or should we possibly expect that we'll come in one day, we have no more enrollment in our classes, being adjunct or full-time, no one's coming to class anymore, okay, thank you for your service, it's been real.
You will get a new letter. I can't answer what's going to happen after, once we evaluate how many students drop or what we need to do. As far as next steps, I do not have. But you will get a new letter, and that's going to stipulate everything that you need to know.
And when you get the new letter, the clock starts ticking again, so
right.
You get the 60 days.
Right.
So,
do we report to work?
The date of the new
yeah.
Do we report to work?
I'm going to leave that as a local decision.
We don't know what the letter is.
Right.
We don't have the information.
No, we already have previous letters.
They bring
that up.
Those are
no, that's what I'm saying. The letter said June 29th. So if we're required to report.
We get a new date.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
From that
yeah.
Date.
They said disregard that letter.
Do we come later?
Theoretically, July 31st, your last day, 60 days after that, you report to work on August 1st.
Yeah.
But also, maybe the letter didn't have a date. Maybe the letter is true.
Something will happen to the letter. I still work with her. So, if I want to look at the other one was coming the way that the same thing. Definitely wasn't worn, but it was pretty much at the end of what you do.
You
know, like a week pay period.
You're right.
I'm going to ask her about it. So, the week time that we're doing right now, it's not possible to do just yet.
No, I understand that.
But what we do have control over is how we treat each other. And that's troubling right now, I think, that it's lack of.
Well, as of right now, wait for the next letter. I mean, that's, I know that's disconcerting, but, you know, I think the best thing we can do as professionals is do the best thing we can for the students, right? I mean, that's the only thing I could ask of you, is be good to those students.
Now, you have to be honest with
even though they
yourself.
Yelled at me.
You know that that has to be hard. Because you feel like, am I morally, am I doing what I should be doing? Is this the right thing to do with these students from an individual standpoint? I mean, you really have to think about that.
What do you think?
I mean, I have children.
Why would you not take care of students? What's the opportunity?
Well, I'm going to take care of my students no matter what. However, my thing to you is, at what point do my filter need to go down? Because I have children. So the relationship that I have with some of my students is very hard. I cannot say to you what my children should do. But from the same standpoint, I'm in a situation with my livelihood, and it's undetermined as to what should happen or what's going to happen. So I'm saying that to say we are the minority in the number of people that you have to define what our destiny is at this point. Why is that so difficult? To say, here's the thing. You all will receive letters, and it's going to be, from the date of that letter, you will have 60 days of employment. Or you receive a letter, and it's just gonna tell you when your last day is, or something that's a little bit more definitive.
Yeah.
We're in a situation where we may not feel so, we can't coddle like we could before, because you understand what I'm saying?
We have bills to pay, and we have to find out where our next employee
is. It's emotional for us as well.
Listen,
with our jobs,
right.
And then we have students that rely on us because of the relationships that we have created with them.
I agree.
They
and
come to
this,
us like a second parent or a mentor.
No,
or
I understand.
They want our advice, and how do you advise, direct, or interact with them when you have your own personal feelings?
Well, your own personal life.
comply with that.
Absolutely, and it's being affected by this, the carrot and the stick thing.
I know what I would advise my children.
Yes, absolutely.
And I know what I would advise myself.
Absolutely.
And I taught a class a few years ago, and I went around to every student in the class and I said, how much do you want to make when you get out of school? How much do you want to make? And somebody would say $60,000 in a car, and somebody would say, well, I'm going to get you for 58, right? And the point is every one of you is your own business.
Yes.
Every one of you is your own business. You have to live with your own self. Taking care of your family, taking care of your students, taking care. So to me, if it's me and I have to make that judgment, and I do have to make that judgment, by the way, because I don't have to do this. I don't have to stand here. I don't have to come in here and you know, I could have had somebody come do it.
Yes.
Right? My judgment is, you guys deserve to hear it from me.
Right.
Thank you.
So, what I say is, do the right thing. And if you do the right thing, you can always look yourself in the mirror. And if the right thing is to take care of that student, yes. If the right thing is to get another job and take care of that student, then do that.
Well, absolutely.
You should be taking care of your family. You are your own company.
Well, that goes without saying. What I'm saying to you is, do the right thing by us by giving us a firm answer as to what we should expect. Which is either cut or dry. You can expect to be fired tomorrow,
I'm hedging it. And here's why I'm hedging it. Because if you still have, if the letters come out and you have 60 days, and you have a week left to teach that, finish up that class, well, please finish up the class and take the rest of the time off. I don't care, right? It's all about timing and judgment. You're gonna get 60 days from the time of that letter. So it's hard to say definitively, okay, on Monday, don't come in.
You have said to me
but
that,
I'm saying that
everyone will get a letter
here
with a date, and
yeah,
it'll give them 60 days.
Correct.
From that date.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I wanted to hear.
Yeah, and if HR wasn't in the room, I'd say something else. So. No, I'm kidding.
Can
I'm kidding.
Earmuffs.
She didn't mean that.
Yeah.
We're the third day into counseling them.
Yeah.
Many have dropped, and this is the first we're hearing that the HLC accreditation might be extended.
I don't know
how to advise them. If we're not getting that information quickly.
Listen, I told every student that came to the meeting that it might be extended, and I only think 50% believe.
But the people that were in that meeting,
they have so much to worry about.
That's what I mean. Like, we have control of.
We are now losing both.
Can we?
Yeah. I think it's a question of optimism, right? And positivity. I believe that HLC is going to do the right thing. I mean, you guys, look. One of the things that's hard about these things is, it's nothing you guys did. It's nothing that the teachers did. It's nothing it's a culmination of years of corporate abuse.
I could be wrong. I don't think we're thinking that.
None of us are thinking that.
The ongoing concern is that there's sound teachers and students who know it's ending, but don't know how or when it's ending, under what circumstances. The better we can communicate, the better
so we'll do our best to communicate with you. I mean, that's the best thing I can say. I mean, we're trying, this is huge. It's 30 campuses, right? Some of them only have like 100 kids. And that's much easier than Chicago. Chicago's like headlines, right?
It goes back to the letter. If anybody in this room wants to walk in an unemployment office, they need a letter of termination, and we need a date. And so there's August 28th, there's December 31st. It's this gray matter. Today is the first time I've heard that there is a 60-day window. And most people in this room have not heard that 60-day window.
Yeah, and
so that is refreshing, but also we're all asking, you know, because it is our livelihood, how soon are we gonna know?
And the adjuncts, we don't know whether that applies to us either. I don't know.
I'm not gonna get you that answer.
Yeah, we don't know that. And my other concern as an adjunct, the way we get paid. I mean, if I walk in on Monday, and I have no, say by Wednesday, I have no students, right? My next paycheck is for 8.8 hours, but technically I only worked 8 hours. So do I owe you that 0.8 hours? Do I have to pay you back that money? Like, I mean, because...
The 0.8 hour police are going to come get you.
But I mean, I'm just asking, like, out of curiosity. I mean, this is like...
We're getting down to that, you know, I don't know.
Is that great?
I don't think so. I mean, look, if you get 0.8 hours, get a cup of coffee on us.
So I'm a junk, and I've already lost 50% of my students today. So if this 60-day window includes me, do I still run the risk of showing up one day and there being nobody and I can ride out those days, or is that it for me?
Your adjunct?
Yeah.
I don't know the answer. Did you get a 60-day warn letter?
Well, you know, I got a letter. I didn't open it because before I got it, I got the email saying don't, you know, disregard the letter.
The short answer is yes, I did get it. I did get it.
So we need to get some more answers.
But we don't know what the answer is.
Listen, we're getting into, you know, we're getting into right. a lot of what ifs.
Yeah.
Right? But our lives are tied to what if, right? If is in the middle of life, right?
Yeah. No.
So that's 50% of it.
Right.
So.
I'm just going to go by we're getting paid for this quarter. I said, I'll go by we're getting paid by for this quarter.
Are we giving all the information to students? So, say, for example, because school closes, and if they are still a student, they have a loan forgiveness program, the government offers. Why are we not letting them know that it's possible?
We are trying to get to them on an individual basis. So the first group of students that we had to deal with was students that were brand new enrollment. Right, we had to notify them. We had a lot of people that were upset about that, but we didn't want to take any more Title IV money and then have to deal with that, right? Because then you have to give it back, right? So we are trying to notify the students. The second wave of students are students that are currently enrolled, and they're making those calls now.
Yeah, but if a student withdraws from the school, then they lose that right away.
There's a difference between school closure and program teach out, right? And the DOE is helping us with those terms, right? Loan forgiveness is when ITT happens. ITT gets wiped out, everybody gets their money back, it costs the government $3 billion, right? We don't think we're in that position because you guys gave value to the students. The students get credit that is transferable.
Hopefully.
Everything's hopefully, but that's our hope, is that that happens and they don't have to worry about the loan forgiveness. Now, going forward, we're offering tuition discounts and everything to try to accommodate these students, right? I mean, they can transfer, we'll give them cash. And I know $5,000 isn't a lot of money, but over 30 campuses, it's a lot of money. So, I mean, we're trying to spread everything out. I mean, the other option for us was to not work with the DOE, just do it, and we're gonna fly into a mountain at some point.
Okay, what about this December 31st? Is that the done deal? I mean, if a student asks me, a graduating student, is this thing really happening, or
December 31st is the date that we told we were working with the DOE with it, December 31st.
And we can affirmatively say this.
Yeah, so here's the problem, okay? It's a technical and it's a business problem. And for you guys, you'll get this. There's a lease on this building.
Yeah, I wondered about that.
There is a huge lease on this building. There's 107,000 square feet.
$3.5 million
a year.
Plus taxes.
Plus taxes. So it's $4 million to keep this building open, right? We have to, at some point, go negotiate with the landlord. We have to say, look, guys, you know, they're gonna want us to pay out the next 5 years. So it's a $15-16 million problem. So what we're seeing is just the tip of the iceberg here in terms of complexity of this deal.
The deal is complex on paper, absolutely, but there's still the human life involved here.
I get it, man. I'm trying. Listen, I can go through hook, line, and sinker. We got 2,500 staff impacted. I get it. I got 12,000 students, right? Nobody wants to make this call. Nobody, including me.
Just to understand those other counseling students, again, we haven't kind of promising or floated that this wording of if you can finish by December, you will be allowed to finish. Is that true or partially
true?
Okay.
True.
So even if we, you know, so if we lose our lease, everything they can come to our house.
We're not going
to
lose the lease.
No, but
so we won't be misleading them by saying if you can finish, you will finish.
This goes to that problem, right? Mm-hmm. So if we keep going and we say, okay, we're not gonna take any more enrollments, we're gonna teach everybody out for the next 3 years, it's gonna cost us $12 million.
Of course.
Or we can say, okay, on this date final, we have to have an accommodation fee. And that's what we're trying to do.
I mean, but the question that I would add to what you're asking is if I say that I have a handful of students who will be graduating in December.
Yeah.
And so I can say stay here and graduate, but they might not get, it might not be an accredited degree that they get. We don't know that yet. We might know in 2 weeks, we might not. But at this point, during ad drop, when they're trying, that is, when you say do the best by your students, which I'm sure there's not a faculty here who doesn't do that every single minute, but that becomes a question. What do I advise my student? If I find out in 3 weeks that we're not accredited and it's too late for them to drop and get their money back,
So I'm working on pushing the ad drop.
Okay, good.
And I'm waiting for HLC to give me a decision.
Okay. No, but it's just to explain to you, I understand that you're really, you know,
I mean, that's a hypothetical, but that's my answer.
Okay.
And I don't have another answer.
Okay. I think the best thing that we can do to service our students is attend this HLC meeting that's going to be on Monday, to support the school and support your programs and to defend what you've been doing here at the school. If we can get any more information on what the HLC has had issues with, I know it's been the switchover, the changeover. I think that would also help staff and faculty.
We don't know what the issue is.
Okay.
We don't know. We were told we were gonna get accreditation and then they put us in candidacy status like we were a brand new deal.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you're right. I think you need to defend yourselves and say, this is what we've done. You know, I mean, I know these owners are stupid, but this is what we've done as faculty.
Mm-hmm. But to what end, though? Why defend ourselves?
Because we need to get HLC. Because if you don't defend yourselves
and they come in and go, oh, the faculty are terrible, right? Mm-hmm. They're going to go, oh, forget it. There's no way they could get accreditation. We're not going to continue it.
And you're not going to want to apply for other jobs with a program that's non-accredited.
We're out anyway.
No, but we are not accredited, and we're pending on being accredited, which is a huge difference for the students who, between last January and now, have been taking classes they might get credit for.
Let me be a little bit mercenary now, right? Because we are staring into the abyss. I didn't do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's not our rule.
I didn't damage the ship. I did what I was supposed to do. So I can go and do my song and dance for HLC, and I can teach out. But at the end of the day, I'm out there.
Yeah.
You see?
Yes.
So, and I haven't heard in this process, all right, Michael, thank you. Here's your gold watch. You know? What's in it for me? I'm going to go home and I'm going to talk to my wife and my recent high school graduate, and I'm going to tell her what. What am I going to say?
Losing my job.
You know what I mean? So, fine.
Listen, man, that's up to you. If you can go any way you want to. You say, look, I'm done, I'm out of here today, see you later, I'm gonna go get a job. You should do that.
Yeah.
HLC's coming. HLC, there's 800 students here, right? And so if you take that position and be mercenary, then that's one way to go. No one's gonna tell you not to do it. Do it.
Yeah.
But if you're gonna stay here and help these students, the best thing is to get them their accreditation because you taught them.
How many students do you think we'll have starting next week?
We don't know yet.
I have no idea.
I mean, it's been daily.
Where did we start the quarter with?
483. We're trying to 43, about 450 some registered.
450?
I checked the other day.
In the whole school?
We're still processing withdrawal forms.
Right.
So we're gonna have a better update on that, probably tomorrow.
What would be your best guess?
I counted 51 drop forms on his desk earlier today.
51 and 20 were processed on Monday.
Yeah. So that gets
20?
Us,
so 7.
That gets us so
I would say we're close
71.
To half.
Wow. So another question that I'm getting from a lot of parents and students is, and I'm fairly confident that I just want to talk about it. Getting a lot where they're really careful with the interaction. There are some that are panicking, you just drop it. But I have had a few really interesting things here in the classroom, and you know, I think that's great. But I'm getting some questions about, you know, if I did, and I think you probably already answered this, but just want to make sure. So there are a group of students that aren't going to be graduating before December, but they do wish to continue on as long as they can. And what I'm telling them is, look into all your options. I'm not sure that's the best option because you have to look at the credits where you're going to go, if it's going to transfer. And there's some who have done that and done their due diligence, yeah. And they have seen that that is a good option for them. And so we are going to be open then, as long as we have students, correct, until December 31st.
Yes.
Okay. And
we
said that already.
Yeah, I mean, look.
Is it
right? Because as much as I can promise.
In that case, because they're not grads, and I think that that's the concern they're having, because they understand they're going to be graduating, but these are people who aren't necessarily going to be graduating, but it's part of their plan.
No, I talked to a couple people at the end of the conversations, and you know, the good option is take as much of the hands-on practical stuff as possible, and then the rest online. You know, so I mean, there's versions of everything.
Looking at different options.
And that's why they have to talk to our, yes. We call it a white glove team that's working with every single student that's going to get them a path.
So,
and look, we've been in the school business. This is about, for us, a legacy. No one wants to end their career. I'm 62 years old. No one's ended their career closing schools, believe me. So the better we can do for our students, no matter what, the better.
On that same front, and you might have answered this earlier, I can't quite remember that, since the HLC decision's coming next week, but add drop ends Monday, are we looking at extending
yes.
the time?
Well, that's what, yeah.
That's what I'm trying to do. Okay. Yeah, matter of fact, I sent an email earlier.
One other question, I had a couple students come to me today and their plan is to transfer to another AI, but then they said, what says they're not gonna decide tomorrow to close those ones down? And
because we do have some students
I have zero
who
answer
were
for that.
At Tinley Park and that closed and they came here.
Was at four different kids.
Right, I've had students at two. This is my second AI to close. So I have no answer, quite honestly.
Well, last time you told us it was bad.
These are the schools that are doing.
Well, right, but they're looking like, so they're saying, hey, I want to go to Atlanta.
Yeah.
But if I get to Atlanta next quarter to land the plane and move my whole life to Atlanta and then pop up that Friday before classes start and they say, by the way, no Atlanta.
We are actively trying to keep Atlanta open. We're looking at a bunch of different options with that. I mean, there's no guarantees. There's no guarantees.
But is there a time frame that either school campuses like we...
Right, because if you have a year left.
I can tell you this. When
so
we do.
You get academic year later, that you possibly add.
Listen, it would be a nightmare if we tried to close these right now, right? We've got enough on our hands. We budgeted for it. We think we got a good student population coming in. We think the one university thing is going to work in terms of GE. You know, we're making moves to try to keep this thing going. But more than anything, we need new product. Right? You haven't had new programs in 5 years. Why do you think that's so egregious?
I mean, when you say new program, you know. I'm not even sure what you mean by that. You mean new department?
A coding program or a software engineering program or some other program that's short term that brings new life, right? You can't beat this trend line. It's 23% down for 5 years. 23% at our institutes, right? The only thing that's going to spike that is a price decrease and new programs.
And investing in the programs you have.
Yeah, new art programs. New art programs or technology programs or something to build it back up.
I just wonder, you know, with the idea of buying an art school and then saying, you know, put the best thing is for the students to get online or to start adding, you know, technology things. That's not what art schools do. I mean, there are some programs that do. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to roll my eyes when you said that, but, you know, there are other kinds of schools besides art schools.
There are. We're just trying to make the best out of a situation. Yes, ma'am.
I just want to say, we've had a lot of people to come in and speak to the group, you know, EDMC, and a lot of times they come in and they tell us a lot of different information, and sometimes it doesn't pan out the way they say it pans out.
Mm-hmm.
So, back to the promise part. I just want to know, because, you know, I see the, you know, how many students we have, how many students that drop, and I work in career services, so, you know, every day I come to work, I check my email waiting to see when my last day will be. So, 60 days is what you're saying, right? 60 days. I need at least 60 days. I don't want to check my email and it says, today's your day. You gotta go.
You're in a warrant state. You have to do it that way.
They can't legally do that.
They can't.
We're in a warrant state.
How does that work?
I see it.
60 days notice.
So it's my last day.
We're just told not to come.
Yeah.
I know.